And once again, we are happy to be able to listen to another tremendous message from Brother Jason Hood. And we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry, who's been instrumental in uploading all of these messages. And he sent me some details about the message we're going to be listening tonight. Let me go ahead and pull that up. Brother Jacob sent me a message here from Brother Jason Hood. This message goes back to April 6th of 2014. That's been about 7 years ago. The title of the message is God is in the Detail. God is in the Detail. And we were actually going to play this last week, and we were not able to, but the Jacob was up at camp. So we reserved it since then, and we're going to be listening to the first half, which is about 25 minutes. It's not very long, but we're going to go ahead and begin to hear the first half of this message tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and begin to play it now. Once again, Brother Jason Hood, God is in the Detail. Here we go, everyone. All right, and it looks like we may be having problems with some of our details here on our end. You know, details are really, really important, and it looks, and you're going to have to forgive me, everyone, I can't stop laughing here, because it looks like we may have missed some technical details, and we're not able to play this message. Brother Jacob is on the line. Boy, he can maybe try to do something about this, but it looks like we're not able to play this message tonight, everybody. All right. Brother Jacob, if you're on the line, go ahead and text me at any given time. And in the meantime, everyone, we're going to move in a different direction here. We're on the call live tonight, and I feel badly about those of you that are on the call. So you know what I'm going to do right now, everybody? We're going to go ahead and talk just a little bit about what we heard last night from Brother Azar. And Jacob, if you're on the line, go ahead and text me and let me know that you resolved this issue with the message from Brother Jason Hood, God is in the Detail. But everyone, I'm going to go ahead and share something here for just a few moments while Brother Jacob responds to me, if he responds to me. And if he doesn't, that's okay. We're going to improvise. Like my brother in the Marines used to say, Marines, they improvise, they overcome, they run into an obstacle and they just figure out a solution and they keep moving forward. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be the spiritual Marines tonight. If Brother Miguel's on the call, he's a Marine as well. Let's talk about this tonight a little bit. Brother Azar and the message that he preached last night. And I have absolutely no notes in front of me. This is just what's on my mind, on my heart, on my spirit. But I can honestly tell you, everyone, as I was there listening to Brother Azar, the moment that he got up, I felt the anointing drop in a very real, subtle, but real manner. I just felt it as we began to pray, and as he began to pray that the Lord would bless him and his message. And sure enough, as he began to get into that message, he began to minister. He began to read a scripture, and it all had to do with intercession. But isn't it interesting, as he got into the message about intercession, he was able to hit different areas that really don't have much to do with intercession. It had to do with the church and things that we're going through. Someone told me afterward, my goodness, Brother Azar, he hit so many different points about our church, where we're at, things we're going through. And again, that's thank God for an anointed minister of God, a missionary from Lebanon that can come halfway across the world and minister to us with specific things about what's going on in our church. But I want to just get right down to the meat of the matter, everybody. As he began to get into the point about intercession, and again, I just described it a moment ago, what is intercession? To intercede. Just imagine someone, a family, a relative of yours gets into some type of an issue, a young person who gets in trouble, and he has to stand before the judge, and he's got nothing good to show for himself. That's where you, mom and dad, uncle, older brother, older sister, steps in to the courtroom, stands in front of the judge, and intercedes on the behalf of that younger person who maybe it's his fault, maybe it's not his fault, but you're going to intercede for that person, and you're pleading with that judge, please have mercy upon this young person, this young woman, this young man who did this thing. Maybe it was their fault. Maybe some of it was their fault, or it was done in ignorance. But they're guilty. They have this guilt on their hands, and you now have to intercede with that judge on behalf of this person who is at fault. And so that's the definition of interceding, of intercession. Now, take that into prayer, and Brother Azar read a scripture from the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I can honestly tell you, it's a scripture that comes to my mind when I am in prayer. It comes quite often. But when I prayed, everyone, I kind of changed it a little bit. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or young person availeth much. What does that mean? Effectual. What does it mean to be effectual? Effective. It's going to have an effect, an impact. What is that effectual fervent prayer? Notice, and I love the way Brother Azar got into it. He began to describe these points. He talked about getting into that fervency. It's not just, oh, well, Lord, it'd be nice if you could touch this. Lord, it would be nice if you could heal this. Lord, you know, I have had this infirmity for quite a while, and my mom, my brother, my sister has this need. No. You're going to come in with some passion, with some fervency, with some need, with a burden, with a desire, and there's something that begins to take place. Even as I'm saying this, I feel that special anointing beginning to come over me as I'm saying this, everyone. Because when your human spirit begins to cry out to God with an earnest, genuine burden and desire for someone else, let me just put this aside for just a moment. I don't want to forget that point. I just mentioned this to Pastor Clark or someone else here recently, where how many times have we gone into prayer, everybody? And let's say you have needs of your own, and you get on your knees and you begin to pray, Lord, you know this need that I have, my wife, my husband, my family, we have this big need. All of a sudden, you think of someone else in the church, and for a moment, you stop praying for your need, and you begin to pray for the need of that other person, that other situation. All of a sudden, you feel the anointing fall. You feel the Spirit of God leading you into a new place in prayer. Oh, it's happened to me many times, everybody, where all of a sudden, I forget about my need. As big and as bad as it seemed a moment ago, it's not there anymore. Now my burden is on this other person, this other situation. And then for the next period of time, I go to the next person, to the next person. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, because He knows our need. He knows all about our need. Oh, but He wants us to get into the place where we can take the burden upon us for someone else, for another situation. And even as I'm mentioning that, I'm thinking about a man by the name of Moses, whom I'm actually reading about here through Leviticus and Numbers right now. I'm going through the Old Testament. I keep reading about Moses and how many times the Lord, that Moses interceded to the Lord on the behalf of the people. A couple of times the Lord was so angry with the children of Israel. Moses, stand back. Let me just blot them out, and I'll raise up a new nation with your seed, and we'll just start afresh. And look what Moses would say. No, Lord. If you're going to blot them out, blot me out. If you're going to take them out, Lord, take me out. Think about what's happening there, everybody. Moses now stood in the gap between God and the people, willing for himself to be sacrificed. That takes something special for a person to do that. You're going to have to develop a real burden and a real love, a genuine love for these people. And these people were stubborn at times, and they were self-willed, and they were just, I mean, they had a terrible attitude before the Lord, and to the degree that even later on in time, Moses, when the Lord told him to speak to the rock, Moses was so angry with the people, he struck the rock with a rod. He struck it, and the Lord still honored it. Water gushed out of that rock, and the people were saved. But look at the result of Moses' actions. As humble, the Bible calls him the meekest man on earth. But because of this one action, the Lord said, Moses, because of that, you're not going to be able to enter into the promised land. Why? Because Moses, these are my people. These are my people. You're going to have to treat them with love, with respect, with a tender hand. There's so many, many things that we can pick up with all of this, everyone, and I hope this is good. I didn't plan any of this, but what are we talking about here tonight? Intercession, interceding. But to intercede in the Spirit, oh, it's going to take that Moses-like attitude, everyone. Selflessness, as opposed to my needs, Lord, my pain, my wound, my hurt. And I'm thinking about individuals right now who have been suffering great things, but even with their great suffering, they've laid that suffering down aside to the side, and they've been able to go into the altar and pray for the needs of others. That's what the Lord is looking for, everyone. I put a thought aside a moment ago. I'm going to try to pick it right back up here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, young person availeth much. It avails much. And again, what does that mean? Effective. It's an effective prayer. Why is it effective? Because it's done with a fervent attitude, with a burden, with a genuine burden. Brother Azar mentioned something. When you go to prayer, when you go to God in this type of prayer, you get emotional. You get passionate. Oh, there's a need. You're going to make sure that Jerusalem cries out and that Jerusalem is heard. He already brought that point out last night. The Lord wants us to cry out with a cry of burden, a need, a cry of need, of desire, of passion, of emotion. Because when your spirit begins to cry out to the Lord, that's what's going to happen. But then there's something else that happens, everyone. Something begins to override your spirit. Oh, and this is where it gets exciting. And I'm not going to lie to you, I began to feel that last night, even as I was on the platform there listening to Brother Czar. I'm feeling it right now just thinking about it. As your spirit, as your human spirit begins to cry out in need, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to rest upon you. And you can feel it when the spirit of intercessory prayer comes over you. It's like a warm blanket. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that are listening to this and you know what's happened to you, it's like a warm blanket, a warm mantle that rests upon your shoulders, upon the back of your neck, upon the top of your head. Oh, and it just begins to encircle you and envelope you. And all of a sudden you feel this urgency that begins to push you into a new place in prayer. I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus when he was on that 40-day fast, but all of a sudden the Bible says that he was driven into the wilderness, not just led, but driven into this wilderness by the Spirit. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. When your spirit begins to cry out to God with that intercessory prayer, the Lord sees it. He knows it. And he says, look at her. Look at my daughter. Look at my son. Oh, they're trying. They're really trying to do this on their own. And I'm going to bless them. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to give them a little help here. My spirit of intercession is going to now rest upon them, and it's going to drive them. It's going to push them. It's going to pull them into a new place in prayer. Oh, I'm getting excited just thinking about this, everyone, because I've been there, and I know you've been there. And if there's some of you here that are listening to this that have kind of gotten a taste of it or have never gotten into it, I want you to know, everyone, it is a place of honor. It is a place of privilege. It's not that I'm worthy. You're not worthy. None of us are worthy. Oh, but the Lord wants all of us. And that Brother Azar brought that out last night as well when he said, hey, this is not just for a select few. It's for everybody, he said. It's for everyone. And when that spirit of intercessory prayer begins to rest upon you, it begins to drive you, lead you, push you into that new place in prayer. Oh, you don't want to stop. You can go into this place for a half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, to the place where the Bible talks about with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. Brother Azar talked about his wife when all of a sudden when she got into this type of prayer, she couldn't get out of it. And then it would cause this, I think it was some aches in her body, certain parts of her body. And some of you can relate to that when you get into intercessory prayer. You literally uses your body. The Spirit of God, it's like if God's Spirit is using your body to pray through your body, your voice, your organs, your stomach. You can feel it. It comes from your visceral cavity, from deep within. That well begins to overflow. And it actually kind of hurts. I know it sounds strange, but it's that good kind of pain. You know what I'm talking about? And it drives you, and it's pulling you, and it's pushing you. And after a while, you just lay on the altar. You're laying on the ground, wasted, spent before the Lord. But you know that you've accomplished something good. Or rather, the Lord has accomplished something good through you.
because it wasn't spent on you, on your need. And many times you end up speaking in tongues and or in English or in Spanish, whatever language it may be, but you've been praying in the Spirit, whether it's in tongues or in your English or Spanish, whatever it may be, but you're praying in the Spirit. It is a place of prayer that we all need to get into. And I'll be honest with you, as Brother Rizal was speaking about this towards the last half of that message, I felt it begin to rest upon me, everyone. And I want all of us to feel that. I could not even contain myself. As I was sitting there listening to Brother Rizal, it began to come through me like waves deep within. I felt that heat blanket upon my shoulders, and I just began to weep there. I think I had snot all over my face, and I had no tissue. I'm just being very open and honest with you, everyone. But you know what? In the natural, it seems like something bad. Oh, but in the spiritual, that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to live in this vein. Doesn't mean it's going to be every day. Doesn't mean it's going to be every time that we get into prayer. Oh, but we need to yearn for it. Our spirit needs to yearn for it. This morning when I got into prayer in the church house this morning, I just began to think about what took place last night. And immediately that spirit of intercession began to touch me. It began to work through me. And I began to pray for other people and other situations. Everybody, listen. The Lord is taking us to a new place, and the revival is there. Not far away, you can see it. It's not like in the past where is revival? When is it going to happen? Oh, we can see it not very far away. We've seen miracles that the Lord is beginning to perform in our church recently. And this, it's no secret. I'll just mention it right now. Last night, we saw a sister, Alina, take off, run around the church at top speed during the message. And of course, all of us know, we've seen how she struggled in this physical situation that she's been dealing with. And at the end of her lap, she began to just dance before the Lord. And it was exciting to see that. But she's not the only one, everyone. There's others that have been dealing with other types of situations, whether it was a physical ailment or emotional or spiritual. There's been some people that have already mentioned to me that they've been dealing with stress and anxiety. And a lot of this started with Brother Deathridge on Wednesday night when he broke the ice and he began to talk about a new faith. We need to believe again with a new faith. Let's not forget the promises or the prophecy that the Lord has given us as individuals or collectively as a church, everyone. But so it's not just one individual. It's many people that have been going through some things. I think Sister Jessica mentioned to me the other day, you know, Brother Vic, I feel like in the last month or so, a lot of people have been going through some things, through some hard and heavy things. Sister Jessica, you are right on. Brother Vic's been going through some things. We've all been going through some things. Oh, but thank God that the Lord has given us a time of refreshing in the Holy Ghost, and He's beginning to give us a taste of the great miracles, just like we've seen last night. But it's just the beginning, everybody. It's just the beginning, and I felt this earlier in the week, that when these miracles begin to take place, don't be surprised, everybody. Don't be surprised. As soon as this happens, that miracle, you see that forefront, a taste of that miracle, all of a sudden, there's a setback. There's a problem, another trial, another test, or someone who just received a miracle of healing or a miracle in their mind or their emotions, all of a sudden, they're going to have a setback. Oh, I feel more pain in my body. And I feel like I can't move again. And I feel worse than I felt before. Hey, don't be disillusioned. Don't get discouraged. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know you're going to continue to perform the miracle that you've begun in me, because the Lord is not going to leave us stranded. He's going to complete that promise, complete that miracle that He has promised to us. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I can go on and on tonight, but what are we talking about? Intercession, the message that Brother Azar preached last night. And so, and again, it was driven by the Spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost, everything that he mentioned. And of course, we think, well, he's a missionary. He's in Lebanon. And you always hear about these miracles overseas in the Philippines and in other countries. That's where all the miracles take place. Hey, everybody, the Bible doesn't say that. The Lord didn't say that the miracles would only take place in the mission field. This is a mission field. This is our mission field right here, Ontario or Ontario, however you want to say it, English or Spanish. This is our mission field, and we are mission-minded. Someone told me the other day, Brother Vic, you're on a mission. I see it in your eyes. Everybody, we need to see it in each other's eyes. We're on a mission. Hallelujah. Ever since the Lord saved us, filled us with the Holy Ghost, rescued us, we are now on a mission to make sure that others receive the salvation, the deliverance, and the healing that God has given us. We are all on this mission, everybody. So know that miracle doesn't just take place in Lebanon or in Jordan or in Japan or in Russia or wherever it may be. The miracle is waiting right here in Ontario, not just in Truth Church within these four walls, but outside of these four walls, on these streets, on the corner of 4th and Grove. There's been so many things that have been taking place recently, everybody, and I can share just one quick example. There we were, Jeff Baker and I. We had lunch the other day at the Farmer Boys here a couple days ago, and as I ordered the food, the young lady said, "Hey, you know what, we go to the mission field, this and this and that. You know, I'd love to go on the mission field." This young lady, she doesn't know anything. I don't know who she is, but she responded very positively. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you need to come to church because the Lord will develop children, young people, and young adults to become missionaries or do something for God. You know, this is exciting. I want to know about this." Well, 5 minutes later, she's serving our food at the table, and I just felt it to dig a little bit deeper. I said, "You know what, young lady, her name was Julie. She had it on her name tag." I said, "Julie, you know what, I really feel like you were interested in what I was talking about a moment ago." She goes, "You know, I am. And I said, "Did you go to church growing up?" I go, "I did." She said, "But, you know, my mom and dad, they split up. And once they split up, we stopped going to church." And I noticed a sadness in her voice. Everybody, there is a great need out there in people. They're never going to know about us until we take the boldness in faith and step out in faith. And that's what happened. I said, "You know what, Julie, I feel something in your spirit. You're really hungry for this, aren't you?" "I am. I am. You should have heard. I wish all of you would have heard her voice and her spirit. I am." I said, "Julie, do you mind if I pray for you right now?" There we were at the table at the Farmer Boys, everybody. And she goes, "Is that okay?" "Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine." I didn't want her to get in trouble, but she said yes. So I just put my hand out. I didn't lay my hand on her head. I just put my hand out in the air towards her. And I said, "Lord Jesus," and I just said a prayer of faith for her right there. And I felt the Holy Ghost fall. I look up. I see her eyes begin to water, everybody. And I said, "You know what, Julie, you feel like crying right now, don't you?" "I do. I do," she said. I feel something special right now. I feel something good. "What is it?" I said, "That's the Holy Ghost. It's not us. We're nothing special," I told her. "But it's the Holy Ghost that is within us that you're feeling right now. That's the Holy Ghost. And if you want to go up to the back of the restaurant, to your break room, and you want to cry before the Lord, you go ahead and do that." And she said, "I don't know what's going on, but I feel something." Everybody, I want you to know there is a world out there full of need, full of pain. They've gone through something in their lives, and they're carrying it. But it takes us speaking up. The only way we're going to speak up, everybody, is if we're full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and allow God's boldness to speak through us, everyone. It's waiting. The miracle is waiting for us, everyone. The miracle is waiting for us. All we got to do is step out in faith and grab a hold of it. Praise God. I know I kind of took a little semicircle, and we're right back at the beginning. How does all this happen? Intercessory prayer. Getting into a spirit of intercession in our prayer. And not just saying a prayer of, "Oh, Lord, I thank you for everything. Thank you for the revival you're sending. Thank you for evangelism. Thank you for the lost souls. Thank you for healing." No, but when we can take a spirit of intercessory prayer, everybody, like Brother Azar said last night, and pray with a fervency, a need, with emotion, with passion, God's listening to that. The Lord is listening to that, everybody. He's waiting for us to get into that type of prayer, and then he'll take over. Then his spirit of intercession will take over us, and it'll take us into a new place. I'm sorry, someone just tried calling me into me right now, and I don't know if it broke up the call. But once we do that, everybody, that's when the Lord is going to step in with the spirit of intercessory prayer. It's going to take us into a new place in prayer, and we're going to begin to see those miracles. We're going to begin to see the miracles that the Lord has waiting for each and every one of us. And it's already starting to happen, everybody. It's starting to happen. Praise God. All right, everybody. Well, it's been about 30 minutes now, 7:45. I don't want to take too much of your time, but hey, I'm excited. I hope you feel this is not just a human excitement. Oh, no, this is a spiritual excitement. This is some Holy Ghost excitement. What did Brother Lambert say the other day when he said something? It's time to get Holy Ghost bold. It's time to brag on the Holy Ghost. We're not bragging on us. Nothing special about us. But it's the Holy Ghost that we need to brag on. We need to be able to boast about the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. It was a rhyme. It was something like that. Hey, we need to boast about the Holy Ghost. And everybody, that's exactly what we need to do. Let's be bold and full of faith and boast about the Holy Ghost that's within us. And then we're going to see those miracles that the Lord is wanting. The Lord wants, think about that. The Lord wants to give us these miracles. Just picture that in your mind. The Lord wants to give us these miracles. We need these miracles. The Lord said that these signs and wonders will follow. These signs shall follow them that believe. Think about it. These miracles, these signs, these wonders shall follow them that believe. Well, we're believers, and those signs and wonders, they're following us, everybody. They're following us, and they're waiting to materialize, to come to life. All we got to do is speak out in faith, get a hold of it in intercessory prayer, and it's happening. It's already happening. Praise God. All right, everybody, with that said, we're going to go ahead and dismiss here in just a minute. I hope that you are all able to get something out of this. This was not expected. This was really on the fly. So if it wasn't that good, just send me a text and say, Brother Vic, you got to try harder next time. But once again, we love everybody, and we're excited about everything that the Lord is doing. Okay, I'm going to read a message. And if anyone wants to send a text message right now in closing, go ahead and send one. Brother Marty sent one. Brother Azar renewed the importance of prayer in my life for myself and for others. It was beyond good. I'm going to read it one more time. Thank you, Brother Marty. Brother Azar renewed the importance of prayer in my life for myself and for others. It was beyond good. Thank you for that, Brother Marty. And it takes some guts to be able to admit that. Hey, you know what? Maybe I've strayed a little bit from prayer or the type of prayer that I'm accustomed to. But this missionary, Brother Azar, he renewed that importance. He reminded me how important it is for me to get into prayer, into intercessory prayer for my life and those that are around me. And that's the purpose of an evangelist, of a missionary, to restoke that fire, to light that fire anew in us for prayer and for intercessory prayer and for evangelism. Thank you for that, Brother Marty. All right, everybody. Well, with that said, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Let's be continuing to pray. And as you pray this week, just like Pastor Clark said the other day, even if you get up in the morning for 5 minutes, everybody, and I'm not saying this to brag or boast, but I've made it a habit, everybody. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I get on my knees, even if it's just for a little bit. Just get on your knees, everybody. It's a good practice. Get on your knees and just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Use me, Lord God. Allow me to be your vessel this day. And you watch what begins to happen. Your thinking will change. Your mentality, you're going to begin to condition yourself differently, like Brother Marty just said. And you're going to get back into that place of in prayer. And when you get into prayer later on that day, oh, all of a sudden, you're going to feel God's Spirit begin to motivate you, move you into a new direction in prayer, everybody. So please continue to be in prayer this week. And ask the Lord to get you into intercessory prayer. Lord, I want to intercede for someone. I want to intercede on behalf of someone else in need. Pray that way, everyone. Consciously, focus on that kind of prayer, and you watch what God's going to do, how God's going to begin to pray through you. Hey, you know what? I may do something different next Monday or sometime in the next week. I may open up the lines and ask you, okay, those of you who wants to speak up, who give us a testimony about intercessory prayer. You've been praying that way for the last few days, for the last week, everybody. Tell us, anyone who wants to speak up, and I may just open up the lines. I don't know. I may ask some people ahead of time, or I may just open it right up, and someone might have a testimony. Everybody, I want everybody to feel a part of this. We're all part of the same body. Hallelujah. I better shut up, because I could keep on going, everybody. But I hope you got something out of this, everyone. God bless all of you. En el nombre de Jesús. And we'll see you all on Wednesday. Okay, I got another text message. Okay. Let's see what's going on here. All right, Sister Jessica. Mama, Mother Elisa, that's Brother Vic's mom, sent a message on a group text. I ended up praying in the spirit yesterday with Bro Azar. Okay, Elisa Terraza said, I ended up praying in the spirit yesterday with Brother Azar. So Mama, as you, some of you may know, she's in San Diego. She was listening to the conference call, and as she was listening to it, she decided to pray in the spirit with Brother Azar as she was listening to that message being preached. Thank you, Mama. I feel this special connection with Elisa. Maybe it's because she's my mama. That's probably what it is. And then Sister Jessica sent another message here. God is calling me back to my closet of prayer. That's it, Sister Jessica. God is calling me back to my closet of prayer. Hey, everybody. The Bible talks about praying in the closet. A closet. We need to develop our own little closet. And yeah, it's a private closet. It's a place of a privacy between you and God. And it's a quiet place, a dark place where no one else is there except you and God. And we got to form that altar in that closet. I'm thinking about my sister Cindy, who's talked about it. She built up her own altar within her closet. And she talks about bringing people in there who are sinners or backsliders, people that don't know God. And when they go under that altar, into that closet, they tell her, hey, what is that? I feel something. What is that? It's the anointing of God that rests. Oh, hallelujah. It rests upon that altar. Why? Because there's been dedication, consecration placed into that altar, into that closet. Everybody, we can go on and on. I'm beginning to feel this. And you know what? I'm going to just say it right now. Get ready, everybody. I don't know when. Maybe next Monday. Maybe this Thursday. I don't know. But get ready. I'm going to open up the lines. I'm not going to do it right now. I feel like doing it right now, believe it or not. But I don't want to catch anyone off guard. You have a fair warning, everybody. Let's be praying this week. Let's get into intercessory prayer. And when I open up the lines here in the next few days or week or so, I want to hear some testimonies, because those testimonies are going to help us. They're going to fire each other up. We're all in this together, everybody, and no one's better than anybody else. I'm here fighting in ranks with you, shoulder to shoulder with you, my brothers and sisters, and we want to hear each other's testimony. It's going to help us. The one is going to help the other. Praise God. Praise God. I'm excited, everybody. I hope you're feeling this. All right, I better let you go now. God bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Look at, I heard you and you're all on mute and I feel like I felt you. Praise God. All right, everyone, God bless everybody. And we will see you on Wednesday night. God bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.